So this morning, as we continue our series of sermons entitled Examples of Those Who Lived by Faith, I want to remind you of a few things we've learned and the importance of putting these things into practice. We've learned from James that there are three aspects to faith. There's the belief, there's the trust, and then there's commitment. It takes all three. It's not just one and done. It takes all three to really live by faith. We must believe. We must trust God. And we must commit ourselves to Him. Looked at several different people who've demonstrated this kind of faith. And we plan to look at several more. We've looked at Elijah, the widow at Zarephath, Obadiah, Noah. And last week we began to look at Daniel and the ones we refer to as the three Hebrew children. That would be Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You recognize more readily the word Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but those are names that they were given them by King Nebuchadnezzar after the false gods. And so I really prefer the names Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We saw how these four young boys refused to compromise their faith in God. When they had the opportunity to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, get the best of the best, they refused that because it violated God's law. And they were not willing to compromise their faith in God. And so they took a stand, even though it would certainly have been more popular in man's eyes for them to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, and that would be the popular thing from a human standpoint. But they chose to go God's way, which is in the end the more prosperous way. And so we need to learn from that. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, in refusing to eat that, requested to be fed peas and drink water. And of course, you know the rest of the story. We talked about it last week. We're not going to go over all that. God had put Daniel in favor with the one that was over them. And so they tried it for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they were a lot healthier than anybody else. And so they allowed them to do that. At the end of the 3 years, they were more healthy and smarter than any of the other young boys that had been brought in to learn how to serve under the king. And so God blessed that, as He does when we do what God calls us to do. Along with that, God gave Daniel the gift of interpretation, to be able to interpret dreams. And then we found that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. None of his magicians and astrologers and wise men, all of them, they couldn't tell him what the dream was, because he wouldn't tell them what the dream was. He said, "I don't remember what the dream was. Can't tell you what the dream was." They said, "Well, that's foolish to ask somebody to interpret a dream when you won't even tell them what the dream was." And it does seem from a man's standpoint that would be foolish, don't it? But what is impossible with man is possible with God. Okay. So we remember that. And so all those elite that the king had could not tell him what the dream was. And they actually condemned him because he asked them to interpret a dream and then wouldn't tell him what the dream was. But when word got out, because he was going to destroy all them, and when Daniel got word, he went to the king and asked for a little time. He said, "Just give me just a little time and we'll interpret the dreams." The king agreed, he went back to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and told them, we need to pray about this and ask God to give the interpretation. They prayed. God gave him the interpretation. He went and interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And so I told him, but he told him that it's not me. It's the God that I serve that gave me the interpretation. So he didn't take any credit for it, but he gave credit where credit was due. It was God. And so then we see that the king claimed to believe that Daniel's God was, in fact, the God of gods and Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets. And that's found in the chapter 2 there of Daniel in verse number 47. But then King Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel, and when Daniel asked him to also promote Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he did. So although King Nebuchadnezzar had professed to believe, he had just said that he believed, and then immediately he begins to build this golden idol, a golden image that was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Got that built, and then he made a decree for everybody to come. He called all the leaders to the dedication and made a decree that when they heard the sound of music, that everybody was to bow down and worship this golden image. Well, that's not something that somebody that truly believes in God, the Creator God, would be interested in, right? And so there again, that faith having three aspects. King Nebuchadnezzar claimed to believe this about God, and God had just interpreted his dream, something nobody else could do. A man could not do, but God had given Daniel the dream and the interpretation, and so he knew that happened, but so he believed, but he didn't trust God. He still was trusting his gods. And so he builds this golden image for everybody to come worship. And so the decree goes out that when the music is sounded, when you hear the music, then you fall down and worship this golden image. And anyone who does not do that will be thrown in the fiery furnace. And so the music plays, everybody bows down, but not everybody. Because Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to. Well, those other leaders were already upset because King Nebuchadnezzar had promoted these three above them. And so they're looking for ways to get at them anyway. And so they go to the king and say, and talk the king into, tell the king that these three guys didn't bow down. And you said everybody's going to be thrown in the fire furnace if they don't bow down. And so King Nebuchadnezzar calls them in, gives them another chance. He said, boys, now this is the decree. You know, when you hear the music, you need to bow down and worship this golden image. So I'm going to give you another chance. So when you hear the music, bow down. And what did they do? They said, King, we're not ashamed to tell you that it don't matter if you play the music, we're not going to bow down. The God that we serve is able to protect us, even if you throw us in the fire furnace. So we're not going to compromise our beliefs. We're not going to compromise our faith. We have faith in God that God will protect us. And even if he don't, we're not going to bow down to your golden image. Well, the king got kind of upset. Matter of fact, he got angry. He got angry enough, he told his people to heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it was ever heated. And then he called his strongest men to take those three men, young boys actually, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, take them and throw them in that fiery furnace. He was angry. And so they did. But when they threw him in, the heat was so intense that it killed his strong men that threw them in the fire. It was that hot. And so that got Nebuchadnezzar's attention again. You know, because these three boys are still okay. And he went and looked in the furnace. And he said, hey, didn't we throw three men clothed and bound in the fiery furnace? And I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And so God protected them in the fire. He called them out, and they came out without even the smell of smoke on them. None of their clothes was burned. Their hair was not singed, according to the Bible. They were protected. God protected them in the fiery furnace. I want to tell you, we're going to go through some fiery furnaces. If you serve God, if you're faithful to God, there are going to be some times that your faith is going to be trusted. You're going to go through the fire sometimes. God will go with you through that fire. He'll protect you. And He'll bring you out on the other side. We can always count on that. And so, here, we see that where we're going to pick up today is in the last part of chapter 3. I'm going to look at the last few verses just with one comment here, and then we're going to go into chapter 4. But the first point I want to make is this morning that people are watching what you do. When you take a stand for your faith, people take notice. When Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to compromise their faith in God, it didn't make sense to most people. There was no way humanly possible that they could survive the fire. I mean, my goodness, it was so hot it killed the strong men that threw them in the fire. But they weren't depending on human possibility. They were depending on God. They knew that with man this was impossible, but with God all things are possible. So a lot of people witnessed their demonstration of faith. I'm sure it didn't change all of them, but it changed one person. And if it changes one, it's worth it all. Okay? People are watching you every day. Do they see a person that's walking by faith, by the things that you're doing? Apparently, King Nebuchadnezzar was one who was changed because of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Because of their demonstration of faith. Because in the first few verses of chapter 4, in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, in the first three verses, we find King Nebuchadnezzar proclaiming his faith in God. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Here, King Nebuchadnezzar proclaims his faith in God. He's seen God at work. He saw how God took care of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah when they refused to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine. King Nebuchadnezzar witnessed that. He saw that God took care of them and made them stronger and wiser than all the other boys that were going through this program. And so then he saw God work through Daniel when he was able to tell the king what his dream was and then give him the interpretation of it. King Nebuchadnezzar saw that. And also witnessed God's power over nature as he protected these three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown in the fire. He witnessed, he saw that just as these three had told him that God was able to protect them through this fire, and he witnessed God doing that. He saw them in the fire. He saw them come out of the fire when he called them out without even the smell of smoke or singed hair on them. Nothing about them indicated that they were had been in the fire, but he knew they had been there, and he knew how they got out without being harmed, and he knew that it was God. And so because of these things, he proclaims to all the people of the earth what God has done for him, and how great God is, and how great God's signs are. And he proclaims that, and gives him praise and glory for that. And so, we see there that Nebuchadnezzar proclaims his faith in God, and then he had, and of course he tells about his other dream. He had had another dream. Another dream that, of course, all the wise men could not interpret. He had called them together to interpret this dream. They couldn't interpret it. They didn't know what it meant. And so, fortunately, King Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel, being a man of God, Daniel had had proven God to him before in interpreting dreams. And so he called Daniel to come and interpret this dream. And so Daniel did. He came and he interpreted the dream. He had had a dream, and he talks about the dream. The dream was about a great tree. It was really tall and strong, reached up to the heavens, produced much fruit and food enough for everyone and everything, provided shade for all the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the heaven lived among the limbs and leaves of the tree. All flesh was fed from it. And he heard a voice from heaven that's saying to cut down the tree, cut off the limbs, shake off the leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it, and the birds get off its branches. Just leave the stump and the roots. Let it be wet by the dew, and let it reside with the beast in the grass. Let its heart be changed from man's, and let it be given a beast heart. What a dream. And this is done so that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth over the basest of men. And so here, he has this dream. And so he calls Daniel to come in to interpret the dream. And Daniel said, this dream is, this tree is you, O King. You're the one that is represented by this tree. And the dream is telling you that you're going to be cut down. Your power is going to be taken away. You'll be cut down to nothing, and you will be left to live with the beasts of the field, to eat the grass with the oxen, and live a very difficult life until you realize. Verse number 20, 4 of chapter 4. And following said, this is the interpretation, O king. And this is a decree of the Most High God, which has come upon my Lord the king, that they shall drive thee from man. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. So he said, you're going to be cut down. You're going to be have your kingdom. You're going to lose your authority, and you're going to get down to the bottom. You're going to be scraping the bottom. Instead of being in charge, you're going to be one of the ones that's lacking. Until, he said, until you know and recognize that the Most High God of this universe rules in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whoever he wants to. He's in authority. So King Nebuchadnezzar, you're not really in authority, he's telling him. He's telling him that God's in authority. And so we need to understand there's a message for all of us here. Sometimes we think we're in charge of certain situations. Ultimately, God is in charge. We need to recognize that. And we need to acknowledge God's kingship and realize that nothing can happen unless God allows it. And all things are under the power of God. He's in control. He's in charge. Does he allow us to do things that don't honor him? Absolutely, he does. But there comes a time when he says enough is enough, and that time is coming for King Nebuchadnezzar, and we're going to see that. That God tolerated it as long, he's a very patient, he's long-suffering, but he don't put up with it forever. Okay? So, when we get cocky and high-headed ourselves and we think we got it all and we're in charge and we don't need God, be careful. God has the ability to cut you down. He can do that, and we see where he does that with King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 26 says, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee after that thou have known that the heavens do rule. In other words, after you finally come to your senses and realize that you're not in charge, that God is in charge, then the kingdom's still going to be there. Okay? That's an assurance or guaranteed that the kingdom is secured, but God's got to get his attention and get him to where he wants him at. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be lengthening of thy tranquility. And so Daniel interprets that dream, this another dream of Nebuchadnezzar's, and tells him what the definition, what the explanation of that dream is, and how he would be cut down. And then we find, beginning in verse number 28, that Nebuchadnezzar is finally humbled. It says, and all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? And I've built that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Not a whole lot of humility there, is it? There's a whole lot of pride there. He begins to brag about what he has done How many times are we guilty of doing that? We brag about how good we are about some particular task or some particular talent that we have, and we begin to brag about that and begin to get boastful and build up about what how great we are, and not stopping to recognize that it's not us, it's God working through us. That if God didn't give us that talent, we wouldn't have it. If God don't sustain it, we won't keep it. Okay, and if we get too cocky, God can take it. You know, I've witnessed people that that thought they had it all on their own, and they've said even that it didn't matter. They were gonna make it on their own. It didn't matter about God, and God proved differently. I knew a man one time that he didn't need God. You know, he had everything settled, had plenty of money. He had a lot of investments he had invested, and he didn't really care, you know, because he had everything he needed in life. He could buy what he didn't have if he wanted it. And so he got real cocky about that. And then the stock market fell, and his money disappeared. And that was just a minor part of it. Then he got cancer, terminal cancer. And his health disappeared. And all of a sudden he realized he did need God. All the things he had depended on, he had lost. His money was gone. His health was gone. And now he was desperate. You know, that's kind of the situation that King Nebuchadnezzar finds himself in here. After he gets cocky and talks about all the stuff he's done, and then God says, that's enough, you know. It's time for you to come back down to earth. Come back down where you belong. And that happened to this fellow that I knew personally. But thankfully, that man realized that he did need God, and he trusted Jesus to be his Savior. Before it was too late, before he left this earth. But it took a lot to get his attention. Here, God gets King Nebuchadnezzar's attention. You see there in verse 30, he says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? It's all about me. He had an eye problem. You ever seen anybody had an eye problem? Every time you talk to them, it's, I did this, I did that, I did something else, I did, you know. It's all about what they've accomplished. Don't you love to talk to people like that? Not many people do, you know. It's all about them. All about them. But God said, whoa, wait a minute. That's enough of that eye stuff. Let me tell you something about what I can do. And so verse 31 says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. See, the king got real boastful, real prideful. What does the Bible say about pride? Pride goeth before the fall. What happened here? King Nebuchadnezzar got him a whole bunch of pride, talking about what all he had done. And God said, that's enough. That's enough. And the fall came. So while King Nebuchadnezzar was spilling out all that eye stuff, word came that the kingdom was departed from him. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. He told him what that dream was all about. This big tree that's so mighty, taking care of everybody, it's going to get cut down. All that pride, it's going to get you in trouble. And it was. That tree was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he was cut down. The kingdom was removed. And verse 34, we see where Nebuchadnezzar, after being humbled, God humbled him. God can humble you. Be careful about your pride. Be careful about how boastful you get. God can bring you down to earth like he did King Nebuchadnezzar. And so then Nebuchadnezzar's faith in God is restored in those last four verses there in chapter number 4. The end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and an excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. He said, I learned the hard way. Be careful about your pride. God's able to cut you down. Put your faith in God. It took a lot for Nebuchadnezzar to get there, to where he really genuinely believed, and he began to trust God. And he's committed to him. He suffered. God can let you suffer. But God will bless you if you'll go ahead and bypass all those denials and all that pride and go ahead and put your faith and trust in him and let him start blessing you now, so you don't have to experience that being cut down because you've been built up in pride. God's able here. We see, and we're going to see even more of how Daniel continued, even when he faced difficulty, Daniel continued to take his stand and live by faith. He believed, he trusted, and he was committed to God. And we're going to see more about that later on. How about you? Where's your faith? Genuinely. I'm not saying what we profess. What do we possess? What do other people see that watch you when you don't know that somebody's watching you to see about your faith in God? Do they see a person, a man or a woman, who really lives by faith, who refuses to compromise their beliefs in God, who takes a stand for their faith, not ashamed? like these little three Hebrew boys were. They told King Nebuchadnezzar, hey, you do what you want to. We're just going to go ahead and tell you up front, we're committed to God. We're not going to violate our beliefs. We're not going to compromise our beliefs. Even if it causes our death, we're not going to compromise our beliefs in God. You willing to do that? It's a pretty strong statement. Take some faith. I trust that you are there. You're not. I trust that you're getting there. Growing. It's a growing process. We grow every day. But the more we exercise our faith, the stronger our faith becomes. And the easier it is for us to stand on our faith, our commitment to God. Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you again for loving us and blessing us. Thank you for your word, Lord, that teaches us, Lord, the examples that we see. And Lord, we know these are not just good stories. These are actual truths that we read about in your word. Thank you for those, even those young boys, Lord, like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Lord, thank you for their demonstration, their faith. Thank you for their commitment to you, their determination not to compromise, their faith in you. Thank you, Lord, that their faith and their lack of compromise was effective in reaching even the king, Lord, that would wind up committing his life to Jesus Christ because he had watched God in action. And he knew because of what God had done through Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. He knew that God was real. It's not something that somebody was just telling him. He had seen it with his own eyes. He had experienced it. Father, thank you for people that will continue to stand on their faith without compromise. Help us, Lord, to do that, to reach out to others, share our faith, to share Jesus Christ with others, and lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. If there's one here today, God, who is not prepared, who's not made that commitment to you, who has not genuinely believed, trusted, and committed themselves to you through Jesus Christ, I pray that today, as the Holy Spirit deals with that heart, that they'll surrender right now in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music plays. You know what your relationship with God is today. You know if it's a genuine faith or if it's, you know, just a kind of a put-on thing. Just trying to go through the motions and get by, and hopefully one day when this life's over, you get to go to heaven. Well, I can tell you if you're depending on a few good things that you're doing to get you there, you're going to be disappointed one day. Because it's not by works. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. There's a need in your heart right now. It's a good time to take care of that. You'll come forward. I'll be glad to pray with you, share scripture with you, do whatever I can to help you. Can't make a choice for you. I'll encourage you. Anyone, quickly. We're about to close. Last call. No one comes. We're closing.